This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's go right to it. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. Always, even though it's an off week, a little bye week here before this thing starts up, the Dallas Cowboys decided to make it a one that everybody will remember. Micah Parsons going to Green Bay for a lot of money, a couple of number ones, and Kenny Clark thrown in there. Mike, I'll tell you what, just when you think, I thought there's no way. I thought he was trying to get him to cave, saying, I'm talking to other teams, you better take it. And Mike and his agent went, we want out of here, and it ended up happening. Did it surprise you, or did you see it coming?
Here's what I thought the Cowboys were trying to do. I thought the Cowboys were trying to kick the can to next year and get him this year at either 21.3 or 24 million, subject to a grievance that we reported on a couple of days ago that nobody even knew existed. But they wanted to get him on his fifth year option salary because that's far less than market value. If you're going to trade him, you trade him after the season because the draft picks aren't going to be used until April anyway. And Kenny Clark, all due respect, I mean, come on. They're painting this guy to be some massive run-stuffing defensive tackle that's going to change the complexion of the team. That's putting a little bit too much on this guy who's coming in here cold and now has this extra burden that Jerry has placed on him. So I think the original plan was to kick the can until next year. They operate on the ultimate, absolute, final deadline basis. And I think they wanted to take this at least until 26, possibly until 27.
You know the crazy part about this? This is not Green Bay-like. I mean, they're one of the original. We draft. We try to keep our own. They're big on that. All of a sudden, they draft a wide receiver. They haven't done that forever in the first round. And now they pick up the largest contract, I think, outside of a quarterback in the league and pay him this ridiculous money. I mean, Green Bay went all in to win it right now. Are they a favorite for you, Mike?
Well, I think they've changed things, and already the betting markets have moved where the Packers are the favorites to win the NFC North. It had been the Detroit Lions, but when you look at the team that has everything and you add a disruptive, overwhelming force, and there's some disagreement, I think, like on how good this guy is. We had Jason Garrett on PFT Live today, and he knows a thing or two about the Dallas Cowboys. He coached there for a long time. He didn't coach Michael Parsons, but he recognizes how great the player is and why you want a player like that. The most important player on the team is the quarterback. The second most important player on the team is the one who disrupts the quarterback. Right. And Deron Bland, remember the year that the Cowboys corner was being talked about as defensive player of the year, and then Trayvon Diggs had that big year? You know why they get all those interceptions? They get all those interceptions because the quarterback is getting rid of the ball before he gets destroyed by Micah Parsons. So that's the point that Garrett makes. And yeah, you can point to some things about, is he a leader? Is he focused too much on his podcast? Does he practice hard enough? But he is an undeniable, overwhelming talent. And I think that is the thing the Cowboys lost sight of. And look at it this way. The Cowboys had a press conference last night. It felt like they were trying to do a victory lap, but I think they were trying to sell to the fan base why they did this. Packers didn't need to have a press conference. They don't need to sell anything. This thing sells itself.
Yeah. Hey, and then on top of that, congratulations, because that game's on Sunday night, September 28th, Dallas and Green Bay. You can't make that up. That could be, Mike, we talk about numbers, and I know Dallas and anything's big numbers, and Dallas got some good games, but my God, Green Bay, how big could those numbers be at the end of the month of September?
I have a feeling that I'm going to be making a farther flight that weekend than I usually do, because I have a feeling we're going to end up in Dallas for that game. Because, you know, when it's a big game like that, we take everybody down there for the pregame show. And I don't think there's a bigger regular season game right now on the schedule after that trade happened, really. I mean, Bills, Chiefs, yes. Eagles, Chiefs is coming up. But to have a game that we viewed one way and have it instantly ramped up into something much, much bigger. That's the thing. This helps the NFL overall, because the Cowboys are going to draw their millions.
Right.
People are going to be interested in them, whether they have Michael Parsons or not. You take Parsons off that team and you drop him onto the Packers, and then it feels like the deck's been reshuffled, and it feels like maybe the Eagles, who don't have to face Parsons on Thursday night, now the Eagles have a viable competitor in the NFC, because last year the Packers gave them a pretty good game in the wild card round, and this year if they cross paths in the postseason, they're going to have Micah to deal with.
Hey, this other story, you know what? We were going about a Rashee Rice, and I've asked you probably 20 times since the craziness and suspension, and he was out last year and he's back. And all of a sudden, they get that thing settled at six games. Man, you were right. And I did not think video is the most powerful thing going for that case, to get it done and go, yes, we're going to get going on this thing as far as the personal conduct policy goes.
Joe, I often say I believe, and in plenty of cases, that is code for I know, but I just can't report. But I believe, coincidentally, I believe that Rashee Rice and his camp knew it was going to be worse than six. That's why they took the deal. And when the NFL is in charge of the process, it sends a little bit of a more potent message when they tell you, is it a bluff? Well, they hold the cards, they dealt the cards, they counted the cards. I think that it's not a bluff. Because even though they have an independent person who handles the hearing and makes the initial decision, the appeal runs to the commissioner or whoever the commissioner designates, and either side can appeal. If Rashee Rice would have gotten two games, the NFL could have appealed. They could have appealed any number. Both sides could appeal. You could have both sides. You could have four games, and Rice say it's too little or it's too much, I'm appealing, and the league saying it's not enough and we're appealing. And at the end of the day, it's the commissioner who decides. And I think there were people who were upset in the league structure. They were embarrassed by the fact that this thing wasn't set up to be done by week one. That was the thing that had people up in arms. We get these things done by week one. What the hell is going on here?
Right.
And I think that I believe that is what prompted the NFL to say to Rashee Rice, you better take six now, or it's going to be a lot worse.
Mike, a couple of days ago here, I think it's been a couple of days now, Chris Greer talked to general managers after they put most of the roster together, and he talked about reset. and it had a lot of people kind of fired up with retool and rebuild and whatever reset is, as far as we got to get younger. We can't continue to pay these big salaries, which we all knew from the year before when they paid out a ton of money. Were you surprised? What was your take on Chris Greer's message to the fan base?
Well, I don't know what the fans really should think right now. Omar was on yesterday morning with me on PFC Live, and you know, I asked him 1 to 10, what's the heat level for Greer and McDaniel? And he said 8. I just think that they understand that if this season doesn't go well for the Dolphins, that Stephen Ross could decide to make some changes. Last year was McDaniel's first non-playoff year. Do you fire him after 1 non-playoff year? No. Do you fire him after 2? I don't know. And Joe, I've said this to you several times. You keep hearing culture change, culture change, culture change. At some point, the change goes deeper than culture. At some point, you change coaches. At some point, you change general managers. And I guarantee you, if a new coach comes in, first order of business is going to be to change quarterbacks.
Yeah. No. He's the two guys, the head coach and the QB, are tied in together with the system and everything else in mind. I totally agree with you. Hey, the other thing, legal NFL betting. I saw these numbers. I was blown away. I didn't know it was at 26 or 27 billion. Legal NFL betting estimated to reach $30 billion this year. NFL alone, and it's only in 38 states, Mike. It's crazy. I had no idea. No wonder everybody wants to jump in the party.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it is going to lead to problems eventually, whether, and it already is, with people who bet beyond their affordable discretionary income, who think they're going to win. You know, there's that subtle message that comes through that you can win, and you can win a little, but over time you're going to lose. I remember the first time I walked into a casino when I was 20 years old, and I was probably too young to be in the casino, but they didn't card me, and I looked around at how nice it was, and it dawned on me, well, I know who paid for all this stuff. And, you know, these are viable multi-billion dollar businesses. They didn't get there by losing. They get there by winning, and they're going to keep winning because you're going to keep losing. And the other side of it, and this is the premise of my new book that came out last week, and I'm going to go ahead and make a gratuitous plug for it, Big Shield. There's so much inside information in sports, and specifically the NFL. Very easy to corrupt someone. A little money here, a little money there. Tell me who's really injured. Tell me a little bit about the game plan. I think there are ways, and there will be ways in the future, to make signals during games about maybe what the next play is going to be or who's going to get the ball. That's the kind of thing that eventually is going to explode on the NFL. And I hope that they put proper guardrails in place to prevent it before it happens. I'm just not sure what they can do.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because they're obviously, and we've talked to the team about it and how serious they are about, you know, information and worried about that. But as this thing gets bigger and bigger, and the amount of money we're talking about, how the hell are they going to police? When you talk about so many players and somebody going through a rough time, spent too much money last year, it's completely broke. We saw it in the NBA. What's the think with the number of players in the NFL? We're not. How do they police it?
Well, and Joe, look, I don't want to put the tinfoil hat on, but I am suspicious of one thing. The NFL has cozied up to the sports books in part because the sports books will blow the whistle on players who are betting when they shouldn't. And every once in a while, we find out about a player who's gotten in trouble because he was betting on things he shouldn't have been betting on or in places he shouldn't have been betting, because they have this weird rule. If you're standing on the street outside the facility, pull out your phone and make a bet on basketball. Walk inside the door, oh, you're suspended for doing the same damn thing you did out on the street. I just wonder if the NFL also is in a position to spot problems and neutralize them before they become Tim Donaghy style scandals. Because, and I'll give you an example, Bijan Robinson a couple of years ago, week 7 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he woke up not feeling well. He wasn't disclosed as having an illness. He played, but he didn't play anywhere close to his expected amount.
Right.
And the fact we got in trouble for not updating the injury report, you know, fine, 50 grand, whatever. There was never a discussion. There was never a peep. There was never a word said about, hey, who knew he wasn't going to play to his normal level? And was there anybody who knew who may have placed wagers on his under yardage, touchdown, whatever, props? That's where it becomes a problem. When people know something like that and they tell someone about it and they take that and they turn it into a wager that is fueled by the inside information. And I think at the end of the day, Joe, they can't get their arms around it. They can't stop it. And it's just going to have to be, you know, they call it an occupational hazard. If you were a lumberjack and you had to worry about the tree falling on you, the occupational hazard for the NFL is one of these days that tree may fall on them.
So finally, because I was going to talk about the book, The Big Shield, Mafia Sports Fiction, Gambling, Mystery Thriller. We just tied into some of it. So Mike, how the hell do you have time taking care of Pro Football Talk? You do a lot of the writing. You do a lot of the interviews and stuff to do that friggin' book, and that thing just popped out.
Well, I started during the pandemic when, after the draft, there really wasn't a whole lot going on, and I realized there's a weird sort of comfort for me in writing fiction, and it balances out what I do all day, and I find a couple of hours. And, you know, if you have the discipline to find time to write 1,000 words a day, and I find time every day to write 1,000 words, and I can write it quickly, it helps because I've written quickly for so long on PFT. You learn how to process your thoughts because you got to get the story done, you got to get the story up, and you got to move on to the next one. So when it's time for me to sit down, I can do 1,000 words in an hour to two. If you do 1,000 words a day, that's 360,000 words a year. That's 4 books. You could, in theory, if you can find the time to do 1,000 fresh words a day, you could write 4 books a year. So it's really not as daunting as you would think. You just have to be willing, and you have to like it enough, and I like it enough that every day I do it. I've got 4 out there now, and I've got 6 others that I got to figure out what the hell I'm going to do with. But it's always good to get one done, to get it out of a logjam of manuscripts and put it on the stack a finished product, and then you forget about it and you move on to the next one.
Well, listen, go ahead, and I want you to pump it a little bit more. Tell everybody how they can get it. I mean, you put all that time into it, please.
Well, and this is, you know, I've done many stupid things in my life, as my wife would confirm, but to sell the ebook for 99 cents is probably the dumbest thing I've done. I mean, you look around, it's 10 bucks, 15 bucks, 20 bucks just for the ebook. So I'm selling the ebook on Amazon for 99 cents. And the print version is $14.99, which is also a pretty good deal. And what I decided to do, because we had some publishers that were interested, and the feedback was, we love this, but sports novels don't sell. And, you know, when you hear something like that, you become a little motivated to show.
You do,
folks,
yes.
You know, okay, well, all right, that's fine. Sports novels don't sell. Okay, we'll see. And this one, of all the ones I put out there, I mean, it's blown me away by the reaction. And I guess it shouldn't, because I cater to a football crowd, and this is right up their alley. It's a good book. It's a fun book, and you'll be entertained by it. And I just think it shines a light on something that the NFL needs to be very concerned about.
Mike, you enjoy your last weekend, man. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
Thank you, pal.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, join us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Well, yeah, in terms of reset, it was just talking about the money philosophy and spending and stuff. But like I told you, we were always going to try and win this season. It's all about winning in 2025. It was never going to be a step back. I think you guys have been around the players and in the locker room and talking to players. It's been a little different down there in how they've approached things. And we saw it from day one in OTAs. Like, the offensive and defensive groups would stay out on the field on their own, which I'd never seen here in years, for like an hour after OT as a group by themselves in their own time, walking through stuff, going through, holding each other accountable. You know, the stuff you saw like in the joint practices where our guys getting on each other about competing and stuff that hadn't happened here in years. So it's a different mindset, you know, led by Mike, that we talked about right from that last team meeting at the end of last season when he told them what it was going to be. And it's been that way, and the players have responded incredibly. So we're excited. We're going to try and win as many games as we always can, and we feel good about the group and what it could be. And so we'll see how it plays out.
Dolphins general manager Chris Greer there. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, thank you, Woody. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist. Look at Omar. Whatever you think, Omar has been all over some of this stuff, and he was right on the money when they were going, no, we like this roster. It's great. And all these things, and come to find out, they added some more guys yesterday, and he's...
Baby, I need you to be quiet.
Chris Greer, is everything okay? You all right,
yeah,
Omar?
Yeah.
All right, man.
No, my toddler's... I'm sorry, my young child, my young daughter's in the car.
Hey, Omar, so. Yeah, that's okay. Listen, we appreciate you coming on. I know you got your daughter with you, and thank you for doing this for us. The weird part about this thing with Chris talking about the great chemistry, and he hadn't seen this... What are you saying? You're overseeing this thing. This is the first time you've seen it? When he says stuff sometimes and it comes out as great, like, you ought to see us, man. We've never had this before. And you're like, why haven't you? They're the guys you drafted and that you signed through free agency. Now we're having it? Anyway, what were your thoughts about yesterday?
You know what? I don't think Chris has any control over how the team interacts with one another. Or how the team, you know, works. What he does have control over is, for instance, making sure that there's a veteran in the room. One of my major concerns about the cornerback unit, and you know this, Joe, was that the blind was going to be leading the blind. Like, nobody in that room knew how to study film or knew how to, you know, or break down a wide receiver, and nobody was in there teaching them. You know, yes, there's a position coach, but he's got 2 years of experience under his belt. Like, if there was maybe a Sam Madison in the room, I would feel a little bit more confident. But, you know, it was the blind leading the blind. So they add Rasul Douglas. That helps. But, you know, there were instances where, and I'll just give you the specific examples that I know. The bad guys in the locker room where Jalen Ramsey's a mercenary. Jordan Poyer's heart was always in Buffalo. You know, so literally, even though he's a Dolphins player, he's acting like his teammates are his own enemy. You know, he comes in and he basically says, yeah, you guys are soft. No, it's not. You guys are soft. We are soft. You get Odell Beckham, who, you know, let's be real about it. Not only was he washed, but Odell Beckham liked the life, the South Florida life. And you right. always got to be worried about the people who want to be here because they want to be part of the South Florida life.
So who's that on? I agree with all these things, but who's that on when you decide, by the way, as Poyer's up there telling the Bills how great it is and how bad it was down here, maybe he could mention he didn't make one friggin' play last year starting all those games.
Oh, he made one play. It just cost Miami the game against Buffalo. He made one play. It was a big old penalty, helmet to helmet, that cost the team the victory. Listen, while you could put these teams together and you could do all the investigative work that you want to do and you spend millions of dollars on investigative work on players' personalities in the draft process, I don't think you do that in free agency. And maybe you need to. But in free agency, just keep in mind how we built this team, which was one-year rentals and big money players and players that you traded for because they were elite talents. And let's not pretend like Jalen Ramsey wasn't an elite talent. I mean, the guy came back from a season-ending knee injury in, what, 5 months? You know, everybody forgets about that. They forget about the Pro Bowl season. Was he the greatest locker room guy? Probably not. Was he one of the first guys rushing out the building? Probably was. But, you know, he showed up every Sunday and he worked every Sunday. Now, also, if you want to question about the culture, then you also have to consider the fact that you're not retaining your own. You're not retaining your own homegrown players, the Rob Hunts, the Christian Wilkins, the Andrew Van Ginkles. And yes, you're not the only person in the league or only team in the league that's going through that. The prices of players is just skyrocketing right now. But when you spend all of your money on six players, don't cry about the fact that you can't retain, you know, the good players like Andrew. You act like Andrew Van Ginkle was asking for big money. That wasn't the case.
No, I let that one. I didn't even get a chance to get to that one. He said we had to let him go because he was out of the price range. And I'm like, I don't know, man. They just had to redo his contract. He was so damn good in Minnesota.
Yeah. But let's be real about it. Nobody saw Andrew Van Ginkle was going to become a elite player in the league. No, nobody here. So everybody needs to stop lying. Like, stop, please. Like, everybody liked Andrew Van Ginkle, but nobody saw Andrew Van Ginkle as an elite player. Like, he went on a free agent tour. Nobody offered him real money, and he came back here. Let's be real.
Brian Flores knew. Hey, real quickly, real quickly on this other stuff. So this got a lot of people. He said reset. And a lot of people take that reset like it's related to rebuild and retool and anything else you want to do. And then he's talking about still bringing, I love this roster, but we're going to continue to bring in more guys. Yeah. But wait a second. If you love the roster, why are you bringing in three guys or four guys yesterday? And you said there may be more coming.
There's more coming. Because you're not a finished product. You're not a finished roster. Like, here's the thing. Think about yesterday, Joe. You fixed four of the holes you had on your roster. And these weren't small holes. They're not tiny holes. You didn't have a kicker. You didn't have a left tackle. You didn't have any veteran in the cornerback unit. You didn't have a gunner. What else didn't you have? But everything, I mean, they basically shut it down in the offseason and said, okay, we're going to go what we got and see how it pans out.
Yeah.
And that's a reset. That's, you know, yeah, you might not be trading away players because that's a rebuild, but you're starting fresh. You're creating a new foundation of the team, and they're not done yet because, you know, as you know, it's probably going to happen next year too when you get rid of Tyreek and Bradley Chubb to create cap space.
So let me ask you this question. Chris was going through a lot of we like this, and we always talk, and, I mean, he was covering everything. And Chris Greer, does he know that he could be on a hot seat?
He's not naive. He's not naive. He absolutely knows he's on the hot seat. They know. Let's be real about it. They know that Steve is frustrated, and I've never seen Steve Ross like this. I've never seen him not be golly gee super excited about a season opener, or you know, maybe 2019, because he knew what time it was, but.
Hey, Omar, so on top of everything else, if the frontline guys could stay healthy, it's not going to happen. Nobody has their whole roster stay healthy for 17 games. We know that. We see it every year on every team. You still feel pretty good about it? Like, the front part of this roster is pretty good, right?
I say this to every Dolphins fan that asks me. If they can run the ball and protect Tua, they'll win double-digit games. The question, the problem is, we don't know if they can run the ball, or we don't know if we're one injury or two injuries away from having a disaster on the offensive line. We just don't know. And, you know, Tua, the exhibition game, I had to write a scolding hot column about the fact, like, this is the best you could do as an offensive line? Seriously? You knew this was your number one problem and this is the best? Tua plays two drives and he gets crushed in two sacks on two drives. So what can we expect? A sack every other drive for Tua? Like that. So hopefully Austin Jackson comes back, stays healthy. James Daniel stays healthy. You know, Brewer stays healthy. Nothing happens. So, you know, if you have one of those Buffalo seasons, because I think Buffalo's gone like two seasons where they've had every starter on their offensive line, which is like, goodness gracious, how lucky can you be?
Right.
If you have one of those seasons, you got a chance, because I think they can run the ball. I really do think they can. I see Patrick Paul out there moving people. I've seen him. Like, people joke about how many bubble screens the Dolphins run. Do you know that I watch practice and the bubble screen is probably the most productive play, because you got Patrick Paul, all 6'7", 340 pounds of him, running 20 yards downfield, terrorizing every defender who doesn't want any part of it. Like, it's a good play. So, you know, Dolphin fans are like, oh, yeah, we're going to bubble screen it on third and one. Oh, yeah, well.
Way too much last year. Way too much.
You too? You're part of the bubble screen.
I am part of that. Too? Yep. Listen, sometimes, don't get me wrong, occasionally they work and we explode for a big play, but we have plays that ended up a loss. And because we can't run inside at all. And I just think.
No. That's problem number one. But you put an inside run game and then the outside stretch run game with some bubble screens.
No. You mix it in. You mix it in. So the bigger thing we got to find out, and the mystery is, so last year Mike said, hey, they figure me out on our game down the field. And by the way, last time I'm going to say it, because I said you can't say it on the show anymore, too deep. But they got to get that thing figured out with all those guys that got coordinator titles sitting around there till 10 at night, come up and drink a lot of coffee to figure out how to get those two guys on the outside to football.
Joe, this. Listen, I hate when people start this conversation, because it's a dumb conversation. People have been playing two deep safeties for 20 years now.
No, longer than that. Way before me. No, before me.
You know what you got to do? You got to make them respect the run. You got to actually make those safeties have to creep up there. If you're running it 4 or 5 yards a pop, if you just average the NFL average of 4.5 yards a carry, safeties will actually say, okay, we can't take two steps back every snap. Like, but the Dolphins couldn't do that last year. Couldn't at all. Just had no, basically abandoned the run game and had to short pass like, people don't realize, like, I don't understand how people don't understand the foundation of football. It's trench play, running the ball. If you could do both of those things, you have a good, solid foundation of a team.
Hey, before I let
it's not about the speed and finesse and all this pretty fantasy football crap.
Well, this team was kind of built on a lot of that stuff. Now, that team was built on a track meet, and we still win the track meet. If, you know, I think we still win that race with what we have. Hey, last question for you, and I'll let you go, and I appreciate you. I know you're taking care of the little one today. Chris Greer's performance in 30 minutes, what'd you think? I know a lot of different things said. What'd you think overall?
He went in and he completely diffused everybody in all the areas. He's like, I signed Kendall Lamb. I got Jeff Wilson.
He looked right at you too. When he got Kendall Lamb, he looked right at you, didn't he?
Yeah. He's like, I got Kendall Lamb. Get off my back. Like, I think he did well. I'm actually was watching it right now again, trying to pick up the little nuggets of things that I might have missed.
Do me a favor though. Don't be talking about like all the things that you're seeing right now you haven't seen in the past. You've been overseeing this thing. It's not like your first year. Don't say that stuff.
Yeah, but he's got no control over that.
What do you mean? He's a general manager. You give him. You're giving him the GM hall pass.
You don't control personalities. You don't control people. You don't control who becomes your leader of the team. He has no control over that. Neither does Mike. Just to be honest with you,
Wait a sec. We do background checks. We check with other people to find out what kind of teammates they were on the last team. We do college background to find out if the guy's into partying or if he's was he a good team dude? And all right. Anyway, hey, listen, you and I are gonna always have things we disagree on, or we couldn't be together.
And then when Mike says I want OBJ, Mike gets OBJ.
No, Chris says no. I haven't heard good things. I did my homework, and no, he's done. He doesn't want to play. He only wants to build up followers.
Personality's not like that.
Exactly.
Then
don't be a GM. Be an assistant head coach that just goes, yes, sir, and yeah, if that's what you want. All right. Hey, man, thanks, Omar. I appreciate it. We'll continue this later, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
I almost have a tear in my eye. It's been so long since we've heard this song, and then it means something special in football season. You know what I mean? Like, we're putzing around NBA or whatever, hockey, but start of football season, you get a little rhinestone cowboy, you know, Lee Sterling is swaggering into the bar. It just feels right.
Let's go, Lee.
Let's go, Lee. Lee Sterling is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And he's a professional sports handicapper. The website is ParamountSports.com. Don't you do one of the Locked On betting sites,
Locked
too?
On Bets. It's the only Locked betting on show bets. On the Locked On Network out of over almost 300 shows.
Well, let's bang through some bets here because I have a few games I want to get to, and we don't have a ton of time. So I'm going to start with the Miami game. Obviously very important to you and me. University of Miami at home Sunday night hosting Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is 2.5-point favorite, depending on where you see it.
So the strength of my game pretty much is going to depend on the weather. If the weather's better, I think it favors Miami. Notre Dame, good running back. Great running back, Jeremiah Love. Almost 1,200 yards, 17 touchdowns. They're going to try to run the ball and not take a whole lot of chances with their brand new quarterback, CJ Carr. I love the addition of Corey Heatherman. I think it's going to make them a top 10 defense here within 2 years. I love the fact the place is going to be jumping here. And I think Carson Beck's going to be good enough with that offensive line of running backs. And I think the passing game will come around here. Wrong team favored, Miami straight up. Low-scoring game, 23-20.
Oh, there we go.
Crowder wanted to hear. Crowder's all over the under.
I'm all over the under. I've been saying the under for 2 weeks. Now it's going to be raining? Come on, man.
Let's see here. I'm just writing it down. Miami money line. How about FSU? I'll do the big Florida schools here, FSU, Miami, and University of Florida, unfortunately. FSU, big one to start the season, Alabama, and Alabama is a 13.5-point favorite.
Thomas Castellanos, what is he doing? I mean, talking smack to the Alabama defense, I don't like it. I think FSU obviously had to grab a quarterback, but they were looking at the guy that had the best game the entire year against him. Thomas Castellanos, when BC beat him, scored 28 points. Other than that, he never scored 23 points the entire season. So if he's forced to pass the ball, he is not a drop-back passer here. He needs to run around, make things happen here. And I think this Alabama team is reloaded. I think they're top two, top three in the SEC, and I think they're going to make it to the playoff blowout special here. I like Alabama here. Roll Tide, 38-20.
All right, now Crowder's Florida Gators. They've got a biggie to open the season as well. Long Island University, Florida, from what I see, is a 45.5-point favorite.
So we had trouble finding a whole lot of tape on Long Island when you gave me this game early this morning, Mark. And their quarterback is Ethan Greenwood. They list him as 5'11", 185. He's like 5'8", 160 tops, wet, coming out of the shower. He threw for more than 200 yards just one time last year. They played two crowds of less than 1,000 fans. Only two crowds with crowds of more than 5,000 people there. He also plays receiver a little bit. He had 8 catches for 144 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Dynamic.
It's going to be trouble here for Long Island. No upset here. I like Florida big. How about this? I think the record is something like 76 points that they've won, margin of victory. I think it was Steve Spurrier, like 70, 96 or 97. 77 nothing here, Florida over Long Island.
Would you ever play that? Would you ever lay 45 and a half points?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. This team looks really bad, Long Island, really bad.
We beat FAMU 70-3 when I was there.
That's only 67 points. We need another 10 points to get to 77.
How about Solana's FIU Panthers tonight? They are in action at Pitbull Stadium. FIU is a 30.5 point favorite over Bethune-Cookman.
Bet you didn't know this. FIU's played Bethune 4 times, lost all 4 times. They play 2 different quarterbacks. They have a next-level receiver and kick returner, Malik Huggins. This guy is next. You're going to hear his name. I think he's going to get drafted and make an NFL roster. I think FIU is totally reloading here. FIU escapes here 24-23.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Solana's got to send shivers up your spine, squeaking past Bethune-Cookman. We're taking BC plus the points there. Hmm. All right. And then the real big game this weekend, 1-3, Ohio State 2-point favorite over Arch Manning and Texas.
I will make this one bet that Steve Sarkisian will never in this game call like he did from the 1-yard line. When he had a first down at the 1A, he's not going to go in the shotgun and run a toss sweep. Trust me. After he did that in the last game and lost 7 yards, it was game, set, match. Then they had the strip sack for the touchdown, Jack Sorey. But Ohio State lost 7 of 9 of their top tacklers. I don't think this guy, Julian Sands, ready yet. I know they're at home. He is not ready for prime time. I'm hearing reports he is not going to be the guy, especially early. Might take him 2-3 games to settle in. Arch Manning, I think he's the guy. I think the Saints are going to play for him. They're not trading for anyone. They're going to try to just win 2 or 3 games and sit tight and get Arch and keep that Manning family going. I think that Texas – I graded out all the different position groups, except for receiver. Texas is better, I believe, in every position. Another wrong team favored. Texas outright, 24-21 in the horseshoe.
Wow. There you go. Lee Sterling. Yeah. Check out the website, ParamountSports.com. You can follow Lee on Twitter, at Paramount Sports. He likes the Hurricanes money line. He likes Bama laying the points against FSU. He likes UF to romp over Long Island University and their 2-position offensive quarterback, who's also a receiver at times. He likes Bethune-Cookman plus the points tonight against FIU, and he likes Texas straight up against Ohio State on Saturday. All right, Lee, let's have a good season. You feeling it this season?
Oh, yeah, I got it. I had one get married over the summer, and there's talk in the next year the other one's getting engaged.
Oh, yeah, you got to win big, man, because you got a lot of experience. There, the Sterling family—they don't—they don't throw. It ain't no wedding at the VFW. Sterling throws it down. Thanks, Lee. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Be good.
There you go, Lee Sterling. Again, the website ParamountSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Dino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk football, I always remind you the best place to get geared up for Canes season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, will join us every week this season to talk college football, just like last season. He will be on the call nationally Sunday night for Canes Notre Dame on Touchdown Radio. Fortuitous scheduling. By Touchdown Radio.
Home, first Gino home Toretta. Game, no travel, no question. We
when I say fortuitous, Gino's the guy who makes the schedule.
Outside of a noon kick on Saturdays, the home kick is number one.
Yeah, just as exciting. Just as exciting.
He did it. So,
how does UM upset Notre Dame Sunday night? Your opinion, a very small favorite, Notre Dame, I think. 1.5, 2.5 points. How does UM beat them?
I think they go out. They're built inside out, so they got to be physical with them. I think Beck's got to be an efficient quarterback. I don't know if I'm necessarily worried about the offense. I think Shannon has did great last year with Cam. I think he's on the same page with Carson. I think there's a bunch of moving parts. Obviously, there's new receivers. Guys that have transferred in defensively, a new defensive coordinator. That's probably more of my concern of what's our defense going to look like because, Marcus Freeman's got a lot of guys back. I mean, they only lost, four draft choices last year, and they were in the national championship game. So they got a stud running back. And as Channing knows, man, our linebackers better be able to step up and clog the hole because, that kid can get up and go. And the only reason at the end of the year last year, I would probably say that they weren't in the Ohio State game is he was out, couldn't play. I think he ended up with like four carries at the Love had four carries at the end of the in the championship game. So I think it's do all those things. And I think there's probably one thing that I didn't mention, heat and humidity. It will be it is unbearable. You guys know you walk outside is unbearable, and I don't care if it's 7 o'clock in the afternoon. They're gonna notice a difference out there in their preparation and games.
And Gino, I didn't talk Hawk into the under because he doesn't trust me because he hates me. But he got talked into the under with the weather, and it's gonna be nasty. And I just been saying all week to different people we had on, Gino, I don't want to dive into the mud. Now we're literally going to be in the mud with Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? I thought that they should try to spread it out, see if they get a mismatch, not just sit there and play Notre Dame's game. Notre Dame wants you to run the ball 40 times. I don't think that's a formula for winning.
Channing, all I can tell you is in 1990 when we went to South Bend, we walked out on Friday walkthrough. The grass was a good 6.5 inches long. I mean, it was just awful. And it's just like, okay, we're just going to try to slow these guys down. We know they got more speed than us. And yeah, I think you do. But, you know, Miami's built kind of different than when I played. They are built inside out. I mean, I'd have to say the strength of their team is their offensive line. So, you know, if it gets muddy, nasty, and things like that, I would agree. I think, to me, if it's, you know, you don't want it muddy and nasty, because if Beck, he has all the talent in the world. If he can throw the rock, we're in good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, Notre Dame, your wild card is you got a kid that really hasn't played, is going to lace him up for the first time. And you know, the whole, you know, the clap, snap, and all that nonsense that goes on in college football right now, you can't hear this clap, snap. You can't, like, silent count. Like, if you haven't prepared for that, I mean, essentially, if you're in a huddle in this game, you're screaming at the top of your voice just to communicate the play to the offensive lineman, and then you got to have hand signals for the outside guys. So, you know, it's going to be hard, and I guarantee, listen, Miami fans, they're some of the best. Like, they know, like, all right, you got a rookie quarterback, we'll be loud. You know, they'll be loud and relentless, and I think, you know, it came out in 17 when we waxed Notre Dame, their quarterback. So it was the largest environment, or the loudest environment it had ever been in, and it will be the same feel on Sunday night.
You're right about the humidity. Tough pickleball playing conditions this morning, Gino.
Brutal.
No doubt.
Brutal.
For the love of God.
No, but Gino, that was kind of my take yesterday with DBJ.
Can I just interrupt and tell you the best way to cool off on a hot, humid day? Aperol spritz. Go ahead, Solana.
Because Crowder is expecting, not just Crowder, I think most people are expecting this just like grinded out game, the trenches, the game will be won in the trenches. And I'm not saying it's not, but at a certain point, to me, it's simple. Their quarterback will have to make a throw at a certain point. If the game is this close, if that's the style, just a physical grind, he'll have to make a throw at some point. And don't you trust Carson Beck, who's been in these games before, who's experienced this type of pressure before, more than you do, even if he's as well prepared as he possibly could be going through a summer in a camp? You trust the guy who's been in these situations to make that big play over, you know, a rookie who's never been there. I mean, you experienced that yourself.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you'd have more confidence. I think anybody would have more confidence in the guy that, you know, is I think you said 23 wins or something like that at Georgia. I mean, he has been in these games. He's faced a bunch of top 10 opponents. He's gone through an SEC schedule. So you're going to be more confident. Miami is. I think that probably Miami, they hope that they put Carr in a position where he has to make a throw. And then, you know, based on what we've heard, at least, you know, through talking season, as Coach Spurrier says, is, you know, the defense is kind of righted the ship, and it could be the strength of this team. But yeah, I got more confidence in Carson Beck than I do in Carr under center for Notre Dame. So I think that, you know, they want to play that type of game where it's not reliant on the quarterback. But listen, first games are very interesting from the standpoint of somebody can come out schematically totally different than what they did last year. And I'll give you, for example, my first game, we ran out in the Orange Bowl in 1988, and preseason number one Florida State came down the same weekend, and they had their video with primetime, all this nonsense. Jimmy Johnson in the spring, I was in high school, in the spring, put in the Bear defense. Nobody in college football was running the Bear defense. Florida State did not have an answer. We beat them 31-0. They had no idea how to block it. They had not schemed for it, not one bit. So don't be surprised if Miami or Notre Dame, one of them comes out in something and we're like, what are they doing? And then all of a sudden, how do they adjust and do they get them? And then, you know, listen, it's first game in college football. There's going to be special teams blunders this week. I mean, we all know that, you know, 10 guys are going to run out to the field. They're going to be 11 and, you know, you get a kick blocked or a big return, things like that. Those are all the things that you can control and say, I can't make the mental breakdowns. But if they come out or we come out and something they're not prepared for, man, and then, you know, you just let them have it.
And you know, we've talked to a bunch of people this week. This is a huge week. And they're saying the same thing you are. This O-line is one of the best they've had in a long time. We know their running backs can play. We know Carson Beck can do what he did. We know, and I love Reuben Bain. I'm quoting Batman now on the show because I love Reuben Bain so much. But the receivers and the DBs, are some people whistling through the graveyard because everybody's saying, we'll see what he can do. He might be better. He transferred in. The real bullets are about to start flying on these little itchy bitty spiders on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say let's see what he'll do. He's better than the last guy. I mean, the last guy was the first pick of the draft. You know, so let's move on from that. I think that, you know, he doesn't have, or at least we haven't seen, because, you know, he wasn't here. He doesn't have a guy like Restrepo. Now, listen, we might say Restrepo wasn't the fastest guy, wasn't the tallest guy, wasn't. But that dude got open, and Cam knew where he was going to be. And he made tough catches in traffic. He didn't cough the ball up. If he needed a first down, and kind of that's where Cam went to. So that's what I'm curious of. Okay, who has he developed that relationship with? Now, remember, he didn't have spring ball. He didn't throw at all. So this is summer practice. And going out and saying, okay, that guy's kind of my security blanket and my go-to guy. They got some stud tight ends. You know, is it going to be one of those guys that steps up? You know, people saying he's going to be better than the last guy, you know, I'm like, cool your expectations. We just had the first pick of the draft and probably the greatest statistical season in University of Miami quarterback history. So,
you know, I'm going to break it to you. He's not going to have Cam Ward's year. I've been breaking that to people for a week now.
Hey, you know what they say, Channy? Hope is eternal.
We had Uncle Luke on yesterday, Gino, and we asked him to pick his favorite Hurricanes quarterback of all time, and yeah, he selected you.
Really? Yep. Wow, that's my boy.
How about that?
I like Luke. You know what? That's because I'm the only quarterback that wore the Luke Two Live Crew bandana out at practice a couple times, me and Lamar. So Luke knows I represented back in the day.
What's the best UM rivalry in your opinion? From your day, is it FSU or Notre Dame?
The one that means you're winning a national championship if you win the game. And if Florida State, you know, if we beat them this game and, hey, it vaults us to kind of move on and get in that mix and get in the playoffs and have a chance to win the national championship, then I'll say it was this. But when I played, you know, I think for the fans, the Miami-Notre Dame game is the greatest. But I would say the Florida State game was the national championship went through that game. And, you know, it's funny because people say, well, the greatest rivalry is Alabama Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Greatest rivalry is Michigan Ohio State. Michigan and Ohio State, when I was playing, they weren't playing for Jack, you know what? I mean, we were playing for the national championship. So I didn't really care when they played and if they were in Michigan or Ohio State in Columbus. It was what rivalry is this game you got to win a national championship. And that's why I just, you know, listen, I know there's great history in rivalries, which is phenomenal. Cause I think that's why college football is awesome. But I think to me, the greatest rivalry is the one, okay, these two teams are really darn good. They hate each other. And this is going to vault one of them into the top of the discussion for the national championship.
Sounds like you are describing the Florida Long Island University game on the docket for tomorrow. I mean, that is
wow. They play Long Island University.
Long Island University.
Is that out on the BQE? Are they actually a road trip? Are they traveling?
I think they're playing it inside a Crumble Cookies that is a cookie for your opponent.
They're flying up Southwest to Islip to play that game.
Hey, Hawk, you don't see the flex that Gino giving the Davey O'Brien shirt.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah. I saw it. Did you see Uncle Luke yesterday had gold records above his head while we were doing the interview? And I saw Gino with the Davey O'Brien shirt.
I was just doing some work outside around the house. Sorry. I apologize. I need to polish this one up. Oh, I got one of that. Maybe dust this one off in the trophy case.
What is it like?
Easy to win when your ship comes in.
80 people in the history of the world have that shirt. That's pretty cool. That
is true. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, Touchdown Radio. They've got a great docket of games this season, and it starts Sunday night with Miami and Notre Dame. Thank you, Gino. We will talk to you throughout the season.
Always, guys.
All right, let's go right to him. Alex Donna, host of Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, also does the post game for QAM for the Miami Hurricanes, getting set for Sunday night. Man, what should be a lot of fun between Notre Dame coming down here at Hard Rock Stadium to play the University of Miami. And Alex joins us right now. And, man, all this yap all off season, and here we are a couple days away. Everybody's breaking this down and experience versus the unknown, but it looks like Mario's talked about this by far being the best all-around team he feels he's ever had. What's kind of the key for you when you look at this? I know you've been asked by everybody's brother. When you break it down, what will be the key for the Canes to win this game?
Yeah, I think the first thing, and Joe, thank you for having me as always, you have to be able to limit Notre Dame's rushing attack for a number of reasons. I mean, Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price are, you know, very hyped up. This is people calling them the best running back duo in the country, and maybe they are. So you have to try to limit them, you know, keep them from completely going off. And then the other reason why you want to do that, Joe, is Notre Dame would love nothing more than to see their running game be in complete control for four quarters, so they can take all that pressure off their first-time starting quarterback, C.J. Carr. I mean, how much easier could Notre Dame make his life if he doesn't, you know, have to be dropping back on third downs and long when Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor are in his face? So, you know, if Miami can keep that Notre Dame running game a little bit bottled up, you can put some extra pressure on C.J. Carr and try to rattle him, because it's a tall task for someone who has not started a single collegiate game in his career to have to step into a situation like this in a top 10 environment in what should be a hostile environment, we hope and we think, at Hard Rock Stadium. That's a tough spot to put C.J. Carr in. So I start there. And then on the flip side, Joe, Miami, I believe, is also going to need to run the football, and I think they can. I think an advantage Miami is going to have is their offensive line against a very good Notre Dame defensive line, but one that doesn't have, you know, the largest of bodies. They've got two guys in their D-line rotation, only two who are over 300 pounds. One of them is at 302. I think Miami's O-line is going to be able to lean on them a little bit, and hopefully Mark Fletcher, yeah, Jordan Lyle, and Shamar Brown are going to be able to pick up some yards.
So I guess we're all kind of curious, and we haven't talked about Carson Beck, but besides Carson Beck, who I think will be fine, he's got to have some receivers to throw to and get some separation. Who do you look at for this first game when we go out there? Because I don't think any of us know for sure. Who will be his number one and two targeted players that ends up having the best games in the passing game for week one for Carson Beck?
I think Elijah Lofton has got to be one of them, if not the guy. You know, Miami's tight end, you know, against Notre Dame's corners who are physical. They love to play man. They don't give you a lot of space, Joe. And I know we remember in the college football playoff when they beat Penn State in the semifinal. Now, part of this, I think, was an indictment on Penn State not having the best receivers last year. But Notre Dame didn't allow a single reception by a wide receiver for Penn State in that game. So it can be very difficult. I don't think that's going to be the case this Sunday. I think Miami is going to get some catches for their wide out, but I think someone like Elijah Lofton, Joe, who is just so versatile. You know, Shannon Dawson says about Lofton, the ball just finds him. I've heard him say that a couple times about Elijah. I think he's going to be a really important target at tight end or wherever else he's lining up. I think that's number one. And then also, Joe, and you were alluding to it, you know, I look at guys who have some experience. You know, for as excited as we've been and should be about true freshmen like Malachi Toney and Josh Moore, who have had really excellent training camps, but for a game like this, I look at a guy like C.J. Daniels, Joe, who's a six-year senior transfer, you know, played his football at LSU in the SEC last year, so he's played in some big games, some big moments. He's got a ton of experience. I think this is the type of game where a C.J. Daniels really needs to step up. So I look at a couple of those guys, and listen, I want the ball being spread around, believe me, but if C.J. Daniels and Elijah Lofton can set the tone, I think that can take Miami's passing game a long way.
What do you expect from Carson Beck? Everybody's got an opinion. When they talk nationally, they literally, he's one of the top three or four topics. Obviously, Arch Manning's always number one. But Carson Beck and just how good he was, and then the little shots about the foreign car that he drives and that stuff. But what do you expect from Carson Beck?
I think it's a blessing that Miami is able to open up their season in a game this big with a quarterback that experienced, Joe. And I know that people from the outside in who either they love to hate on Carson Beck or they love to hate on Miami, there's a lot of those haters out there in both of those cases, will say, hey, through 12 interceptions last year, the guy's turnover prone. Well, I mean, the year prior to that, when he actually had pass protection, a running game, and receivers who were up to Georgia's standards in 2023 compared to 2024, when his receiving core led the nation and dropped, in 2023, he only threw six interceptions. He took care of the football. And I think that's what he needs to do, Joe, on Sunday. Now, you know, I think both these secondaries are really good. You know, Notre Dame's is, you know, pretty familiar to what they had last year. Miami's is completely revamped. Both secondaries have talent. Maybe there's going to be an interception or two on both sides. But I think Carson Beck taking care of the football, playing with poise, Joe. But I think he's got to hit a couple of big throws down the field as well. And I would probably trust, you know, the guy who's 24-3 in his career and will be playing against a top 10 opponent for the eighth time in his career. He's 5-2 in those situations. I would probably trust Carson Beck more to do that than the guy on the other side who is 0-0 so far in his college career. So I poise, take care of the football, and be the leader that I think he is. I think Beck has had a really good offseason. I think he's motivated. I think the change of scenery has lit a fire under him. And I don't think he's got to light up the stat sheet, Joe. I'm not looking at like 350 yards and five touchdowns, but I think if he can throw for 200, a touchdown or two, take care of the football, I think that can be a difference in this game.
You know, Donald, you were talking and makes a great stuff, and really appreciate all this stuff. It's really interesting that the secondary has been a problem. I mean, they've been at times god awful last year, especially towards the end of the year. It was so bad, I didn't know if it was mental mistakes or guys just were getting beat that bad at times. It was third and 12, and other teams are getting 18, 19, like it was a short pass. You see these guys running around now, and with a new coordinator, simplify things so everybody's on the same page, but with a lot of experience too with these guys they have. You just feel a lot better about the defensive secondary, don't you?
Yeah, especially, you know, with the physicality of profiles like Xavier Lucas and OJ Frederick, that, you know, you trust these guys a little bit more not to give up big time space. And Notre Dame's got some good receivers, Joe, Jermaine Greathouse, who had a good year last year. They brought in Malachi Fields from Virginia, who's a big physical target who transferred in there. So I think our guys are going to be up to the task, Joe. I mean, Frederick is over 6 foot, over 200 pounds, plays physical. Xavier Lucas, same thing, physical. I think Miami's only got one guy, maybe two now in their defensive secondary who are below 6 feet tall. It's mostly long physical players, and the unit's completely transformed. I mean, I was listening, Joe, the other day to, you know, one of the more prominent college football analysts out there, Josh Pate, who's now with On Three Sports. And, you know, he mentioned some of the intel that he's gotten coming from, you know, Miami people in the Miami facility is not only is Miami's defensive secondary revamped, but people in Coral Gables feel like now that could be a strength of the football team, that they think they've turned it around that much. And yeah, Sunday's going to be the first big test for that.
And we just take it for granted, but you hit it first. This thing, when you talk about strength last year and this year of the Miami Hurricanes team, we talk O-line, and that hasn't changed. They really got to dominate. They have to, there got to be time to throw, but they do need to have a good game running the football with two of those three running backs over 220 pounds. They need to run it inside and just and pound people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not negotiable, and that's why I'm and who knows, the first game of the season, Joe, in terms of what the score is going to look like, is it going to be a high scoring game, a low scoring game? Sometimes the first game can be unpredictable, but I'm thinking it's probably going to be a lower scoring game, Joe. Like, you know, I'm looking at, I think my official pick for this one is Miami 23-20, or maybe I could go 24-21, something like that. I think they're going to go under the 49.5, which, you know, the Hard Rock app that Vegas has set for this one. But yeah, I don't think either side is going to win this game if they can't run. I think that that's non-negotiable in a matchup like this, where both coaches, Cristobal on Miami's side and Marcus Freeman on the other side, they love to have big physical lines of scrimmage and big time running attacks.
I will say this. I've been on this and I believe it at the college level as well as the pro level experience. There's something to be said for experience, and Notre Dame's coming in after playing in that national championship game. You agree with that? There's something to be said for being on the road and winning games. And some of those guys, or a lot of them, are actually back on this team.
Yeah, and also for what it's worth, and, you know, it's a completely different group of people in that building, but they just won, you know, a playoff game at Hard Rock Stadium, you know, about, 7 or 8 months ago, the one against Penn State. So for, you know, they're all the players who are returning to that lineup will be able to visualize, hey, the last time we were in this building, we came away with a big victory. But then, of course, Miami fans, and I'll never forget this, Joe, because I was in the stadium, you know, 2017 on that November night. That was the loudest I've ever experienced.
Yeah, we need that again. That's a good point.
It was crazy. So, you know, again, I know Notre Dame, these players remember winning a game in that building several months ago, but my Miami fans need to recreate what we had in that building back in 2018. But I agree with you. There's no substitute for experience. And, you know, on the Miami side, obviously, to be able to have guys like Carson Beck, who's been in big games, CJ Daniels, the receiver coming out of LSU, a guy like Keontae Scott coming out of Auburn, Jacoby Thomas coming out of Tennessee, you know, to be able to have some game to some players on the Miami side with experience in really big games, I think can help us.
Loud and humid, man. That's the new thing. Loud and humid is about as whatever maximum number you can get that night. Just where it's a sweat box in there is will be fun. Hey, this one's going to be a lot of fun. What a great kickoff for both Notre Dame and the Miami Hurricanes. Alex, thank you so much, bud. Appreciate you coming on.
Joe, Hollywood, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And like you said at the top, we're getting tired of talking about this. We just want to see the football on Sunday, then we'll break down whatever happens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.